as life slowly changes, as coronavirus starts dictating the way we live, what about our prayers? Does God answer prayers? Well, maybe we just have to listen. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, the physical, and everything in between. And going to share with you an answer that I got to my prayer. This is episode number 615 of The Next Step. I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Voskin. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. There's no need to check your brain in at the door. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. These podcasts are part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes Ministry and provided by epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Are you with me? Are you there? What is going on? What is going on in this world? Crazy? Holy moly. Yeah. That's the holy you get. That's the holy. It's a holy moly. Pretty wild, pretty wild. Coronavirus. Yeah. It's like on just everywhere you look. There's like no escaping it. And the people who do escape it have no knowledge of it. And now are, because they lack that knowledge in it, they're just like going beyond themselves, hoarding, taking things, and taking the liberty to set up scenarios. We're now getting back into the conspiracy theories. Ah, yeah, you remember those? Conspiracy. I've been through so many of them. Remember John Kennedy? Did one bullet kill him? Who did it? Was it CIA? Was it mafia? And Martin Luther King assassination. Well, we kind of found the guy, but so many things did the government. Well, Malcolm X. Yeah. That was back in the 60s, 70s. Oh, conspiracy went to the second level because we were talking about an administration, the Nixon resignation. We started, there was just absolutely no trust in the government. At the end of the Nixon resignation. And then after that, we slowly started seeing different scenarios pan out. And then by the time we got to 2001 and the towers coming down, well, why would the towers come down the way they did? Airplane hits, you'd expect a crash, but why did they come down the way they did? It must be conspiracy. Oh, no, excuse me. I forgot the most important one, the moon. The moon landing was faked. Right. I don't know why the conspiracy, but anyway, the moon landing was faked. It was in somebody's backyard. They had set up some craters and everything, and they had filmed this. Yeah, I forgot about that one. But then 2001. And anyway, here we are now in 2020, and we're hit by this COVID-19. Popularly called coronavirus, but we're scared to say that even because people stop drinking Corona beer. Yeah, seriously. It's like pretty wild. That's why I asked, are you there? Are you there with me? I hope you are. And I want to thank you for joining me today. What I'm going to share with you today is a message about prayer. It's a message that we did last night. I'm going to share with you a great song of the day. You're going to really like this one. And there's a visual side to it too, so I hope you'll check that out. And I'm going to talk to you tonight a little bit about God answering our prayers. But let me start off by saying that I think, yeah, things are changing. We are in a new day and age. Definitely in the church, we're changing. We're actually questioning things. I mean, a few minutes ago I talked about the moon landing being faked. You know, one of the things about the moon landing for me, and certainly for many people in the world, was it changed our perception. You know, there's that famous picture of the blue marble. There's that famous picture. I think it was from Apollo 8. They shot it. It was the first time that anybody, any human being, had left Earth's gravitational force and were circling the moon. And first time they were in the orbit of the moon. And for the first time ever, they saw the Earth rise above the moon horizon. And I know I played this for you a few years ago. They did that Christmas Eve broadcast where surprising the entire world. They were, you know, I mean, when you think about it, 1968, you had all kinds of things going on here in America, and they were reflections of what was going on in the world, of course. We were engaged in a horrific war called Vietnam. We were fighting our children. Our children were dying, and this war was coming into our living rooms via the television. So we were watching the war unfold. There was unrest in the on the college campuses. There were election. It was an election year. It was also the Olympic year, and people protested. There were civil rights movements going on. It was just a horrible, horrible year. And at the end of the year, this one bright little moment, they had over a billion people tuning in to this broadcast from Apollo 8 when they first saw the Earth. And even just thinking about it, I've played for you, and I, you know what, we'll try to find it and maybe put it on our show notes today. But even just thinking about it right now, it gives me shivers down my spine, really, how the astronauts read Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it was just so, so beautiful. It brought together the world in a very unique way. We ended 1968 in a very positive, positive manner, despite all the negativity. And I bring this up because it's a matter of perception, how we're going to be looking at what's going on. We have a coronavirus that is really wreaking havoc all over because it's a novel virus. We don't know what's going on with it. And because we don't know, there's a lot of speculation. And that speculation is based on fear. When Franklin Roosevelt said, you know, there's nothing to fear but fear itself, you can't imagine how profound a statement that is, because it's really the fear that brings us down. Do not fear anything but fear itself. It's that fear, that ignorance, that opens the door to some of the darkest places that you could imagine. Yeah, it's fear. And we're seeing that fear drive this chaos. Yeah, that's what we're seeing. I mean, panic buying. People are panic buying. Nobody said that you're going to be without food. You're going to be without these supplies. But people are just hoarding stuff, hoarding water. Now, like, I forgot that I have a faucet in the house. Yeah, I forgot that I live in the 21st century and I have plumbing. Let me go and hoard water. It's crazy. We're going to be inside. We're not going to be able to go outside. We're going to have military, you know, all kinds of things can happen. But let me tell you, it can happen not because of this. It could happen because of the ignorance that we have in this world. Yeah. Not because of coronavirus. It could just happen because of the ignorance that allows people to take charge when they shouldn't be. But that's a whole different issue. What I want to share with you, because we're on the next step, is sort of the next step of what we're doing within the church. Because last week I spoke to you about that fear. I spoke to you about that fear in relation to faith, the opposite of that fear. And I hope, at least from what I received as far as email and responses, I know that it was a very positive message. It touched people in a very unique manner. I want to do a second portion to that, because last night we spoke about prayer. Yesterday, His Holiness Catholicos Scott Akin II named it International Prayer Day. Every Armenian was asked to stop what they were doing and offer a prayer against the coronavirus. We here in the Western Diocese, sort of in a manner, we became the last one, because physically on the globe, we're in the last time zone. Well, of course, Hawaii's out there too, Alaska, but considered part of the Western Diocese, right? So in that last time zone, we got together, and something very new for us, what we did is we actually live streamed the service so that people didn't have to come to church. We actually encouraged people not to come to church. And I'll put a link on today's show notes. You could see the service from last night. It was very unusual because we had the camera pointing to us in as the clergy. And I had to give a sermon last night talking into the camera without an audience. The audience was behind me. And just this morning, I was speaking with the Archbishop, and he says, I hope you noticed that I turned towards you from where I was sitting, just so you could see that there, just so you could see that there was somebody watching you. And I said, thank you, you know. Yeah, it is weird. It's a very, very strange feeling, you know, when you're giving a sermon. Now, it's different. A podcast, you know, I'm in this studio. Ken walks out, has his smoke. You know, Susie's on the other end most of the time remotely. So, yeah, it is a small little lonely little studio, but we're doing it. But the idea of streaming these broadcasts is something that we pioneered back in the year 2000. In the year 2000, I had been at St. Gregory, Pasadena for 3 years, and we said, let's stream the Easter service. And this had never happened before, but we had a very unusual situation. The Armenian church was alive and vibrant, and we had torn down our small little facility. Our church was... We had a hall, a social hall, which when you stacked up the chairs would hold about 1,000 people. And every Sunday we were filling. Every Sunday we had a full church in the hall. And Easter Sunday we had people crammed in there against fire regulations. And we had another 1,000 people on the outside. So we were up to about 3,000 people on site. And we wanted a way of making it work beyond that. So in the year 2000, we partnered with Japonica Partners. They were a company back east someplace, I want to say New Jersey, and we did a broadcast, and this was an audio broadcast. And I know it exists on the internet. I'm making notes as I'm speaking. We're going to try to put that on the show notes too, so you could listen to it, okay? I think the sermon in that one was really special because we made note of this historic occasion. It was the first time that, you know, the Armenian Church Balarak, the Divine Liturgy, was being broadcast. And it was an audio broadcast that we did with couplers. Now, this is before... Before everybody had like high-speed internet in their houses, we had something called a modem. And the modem actually connected physically to the internet. So you had a phone, and over the phone lines you had to take the computer signal. So the computer signal was changed into a signal that could be transmitted over the phone lines. But how do you get the computer over the phone lines? Well, we had what was called a coupler. And so basically, if you can imagine this, those of you who are old enough to remember what phones look like, you had the receiver and, you know, the receiver portion had the earpiece and it had the mouthpiece. So you would take the mouthpiece and put it up to the earpiece on one device and then on the other. And so this would be a coupler. There was an actual machine that would couple this. And And that's how we transmitted the signal. Anyway, long story short, we did it. We did the first divine liturgy over the internet. And I think I didn't realize how big of a deal it was until afterwards. And I received, I'll never forget this. I'll never forget this. I received a beautiful letter from one of our parishioners. Her name is Seta. And she told me about her father, who all his life had gone to Easter Sunday, but this Sunday he was unable to. Physically, he was unable to. The doctors told him he couldn't come. And when he found out that there was an option to follow the Divine Liturgy, the Badarak, on the internet, she set it up. And she's told me that he came, this man came to the computer dressed in his Easter suit with a tie, shaven, beautifully adorned like you would on an Easter Sunday. And he sat in front of the computer and he followed the Divine Liturgy. And she said she had tears in her eyes watching him do this. And it brought tears to my eyes too. The power of what we have, the power of technology being used to get this message out. So this was a big turning point. So here we are 20 years later. We're now broadcasting. And last night we did a broadcast. We streamed the Lenten service. It also happened to be the day of prayer. And I spoke about prayer. And at the end of it, I also shared an answer to a prayer. So I want you to go through it with me, and I promise I'm going to share with you the answer to the prayer. I think it's I'm very moved by it. You want to know, does God answer prayers? You just got to listen. That's it. You know, you just got to listen. God will answer the prayers. You've just got to listen. So the day began yesterday. Amid COVID-19, coronavirus talk and everything, we're talking about prayer. What is prayer? And I'm watching as the prayer day of prayer unfolds in Holy Etchmiadzin, in the town of Holy Etchmiadzin. There is one of the monasteries, Saint Gaiane, and that's where His Holiness the Catholicos, along with members of the Brotherhood of Etchmiadzin, had gone to offer their prayer. And we watched, and it just took me back 40, 45 years to my days in the seminary. And it was very meditative. I'll have a link on today's show notes. If you really want a meditation, it's 30, 40 minutes long. It's mostly just let yourself go. Just, it's a great, great little video to do some meditation to, and prayer, of course, because it was about prayer, and the Catholicos led us in prayer. And I watched this, and as I'm watching, I'm thinking about Saint Gaiane. What is that, 6th century, 7th century building? And I'm thinking, like, you know, there's like 1600 years inside of that monastery. And you look at the stones, one placed upon the other. You look at the blackness of the stone. You see that they have smoke on them from the candles, from the incense, the smell of the incense. It's inside of the stones. And those stones are like silent witnesses to the centuries of prayers that have taken place in that monastery. Against all kinds of barbarians, against all kinds of evils in the world. And here is a group of people, the Armenians, they've gathered again. They've gathered again to pray in this monastery. And so I had these thoughts in my head as I'm preparing to speak last night. And I thought, well, what better way to talk about prayer than to actually define it? Because I think in many respects, prayer, like so much of our spiritual life, is left on a back burner. We pray when it's necessary, definitely, you know, like when we're in need, when we're in trouble. And yeah, I know we pray at other times, but let's just say it nicely so everybody could buy into this as well. We usually, our prayer life usually becomes more active when we are in need, when we are in trouble. But so many times our prayers are like a checklist that we give to God. And we say, okay, God, here's the list of things that we need in life. And we say, okay, coronavirus, you know, help us out with this. And it could be very material things. It could be financially. Financially, I'm going through difficulties. It could be physical. Yes, the coronavirus, illness in our family, cancer. We've got all kinds of difficulties. Help us, God. We could ask for spiritual things in our prayers. Patience. God, I need patience. I need understanding. I need a forgiving heart. Okay, so we pray. And it's usually like a checklist to God. Here, this is what I need, okay? And we pray like this. And that shopping list mentality is fortified by many of the images and stories that we hear. For instance, Jesus, in fact, talks about this coming Sunday is the Sunday of the unrighteous judge in the Armenian church. It's a parable that comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke. Jesus talks about this judge who's not afraid of God, not ashamed of people, and he could care less about everybody in the town. And this widow comes up and says, please see my case. And he says, I don't need to be bothered by you. And she keeps coming and coming and coming back and forth, back and forth. Finally, it wears out the judge, and the judge says, okay, I will see her case because she's going to wear me out, right? So you hear this story and you say, okay, well, this is what I got to do with God. I got to wear him out. You know, let me just keep asking. If I ask enough, and if I ask long enough, I'm going to hit the lottery, cancer will go away, and everything will be reconciled because I'm going to keep asking. And, you know, like I said, these images of the shopping list that we give to God are fortified because of stories like this. In fact, it is such a wild way of explaining that story that the author, namely St. Luke, the evangelist St. Luke, who wrote the story of this parable in his gospel, he realizes that you're going to think that that's what it means. And so he gives as a preface to the parable, he writes down, he says, and Jesus offered this parable so that we would always pray, that we ought to pray. That's it, you know, that we should pray. It's not about wearing down God. But like I said, we have that image that this is what it is. Look, when Jesus teaches us to pray, how does he teach us? He says, pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven, may your name be holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then there's two things that we ask for. We ask for our daily bread, and we ask that our sins be forgiven in the same manner that we forgive others. A conditional statement. Forgive me my sins the way I forgive others. Lead me not to the temptation, but deliver me from evil. This is the prayer that Jesus teaches us. But as a preface to this prayer, Jesus gives us a message. He says, do not add extra words when you pray. Do not be like the heathen who think that the more that they could say, the more God will listen. He says, your heavenly Father already knows what your needs are before you ask him. See, this begs the question. If God knows, why am I praying, right? You think God doesn't know that there's coronavirus? You think God doesn't know that your child is being tempted by drugs, by alcohol? You think your heavenly Father doesn't know that you're in a sour relationship, whether with a husband, with a wife, with a girlfriend, with a boyfriend? You think that your Heavenly Father doesn't know that you have secret desires, secret fears in your heart? Your Heavenly Father already knows what you need before you ask Him. I want you to think about this, okay? Because I'm going to continue now in a few minutes on the second portion of today's show about how we should pray, and I'm going to share with you an answer that I got to my prayer. Right now, I'm going to share with you the song of the day, and it happens to come at a time that I needed to hear it. It is Arada Banjan, our good friend from Element Band, and this was such a beautiful, beautiful video that he sent out amid the coronavirus. And I can't nor will I tell you the punchline because it is beautiful. You've got to watch it. There's a visual aspect to this. Okay, let me just say it that way. So I'll put a link on today's show notes to the song. It is called By the River, Arada Banjan. Enjoy. Arada Banjan doing By the River, a very special video that just popped up yesterday. It's in the midst of all this lockdown that we're talking about, in the midst of this this coronavirus taking us away from our daily activity, our daily enjoyment. We got a little bit of fresh air with this song by being by the river. And that's all I'm going to tell you because the freshness of this song has to do with the video as well. So I have a link on today's show notes to the video. Do check it out. Very, very creative. Just beautiful. Came in at a perfect time for me. I'm sure it did for you as well. Also, take a moment to check out all of the wonderful music put out by Yara and the Element Band. I'll have a link on our show notes for Element as well.
Sunshine came softly through my window today. Could have tripped out easy, but
okay, so I left you with some ideas about, well, God already knows what our needs are. It's a statement that's made by Jesus. He says, do not add too many words. Do not speak excessively in your prayers. Your Heavenly Father already knows what you need. So it begs the question, if God knows what my needs are, if God knows that there's a coronavirus, why am I going to pray for an end to coronavirus? If God knows that, you know, my family is in need, why am I going to pray? If God already knows that my neighbor is sick, why am I telling him I'm going to pray for you? If God knows that I have fear in my heart, what am I going to pray? Take away the fear? He already knows that, right? So I'd like you to think about prayer not in terms of a vertical relationship, in other words, just speaking to God, and we'll go vertical because traditionally heaven is upright. But I want you to think about heaven being all around you, God being all around you. Where is God? He's all everywhere, including within you, including inside of you. God dwells in a clean spirit, in a clean heart. God's there, right? So, if God's inside of you, perhaps that prayer is about awakening yourself to your needs. Now, this may sound really weird because you say, what do you mean? I don't know what my needs are. I need to pray to myself. Exactly. Yes, you do not know what your needs are. Okay, so in the Eastern tradition, we talk about meditation. Well, what is that meditation? It's the focus. It's the focus of bringing everything into the self and understanding the self and then ridding yourself of those self-thoughts. It's more complicated than I'm saying, but think about it in that respect when I'm telling you that prayer is a conversation not only with God outside of you, but a conversation with God within you, to speak with yourself so that you know what your needs are. Because it doesn't matter if you ask God, you know, look, I'll put it really simply in a way that everyone can agree upon, okay? What would you think of if I said that I'm going to pray to God for my financial success, but then I went and I laid down on the couch and said, you know what? I've left it up to God. I'm not going to work. I could care less because God's going to take care of it. What would you say to that? You'd say, well, there's no sense in praying to God. That's ridiculous. You'd say, you're not helping yourself. You're not praying yourself. No, I didn't say God helps those who help themselves. I'm saying that you wouldn't pray to God to help you when you're not willing to do something, when you're not willing to take a hold of the action yourself. I'm praying God for my financial success, but I'm too lazy. I don't want to work. We all agree upon that's not the way you pray, right? Okay, well, why do you think it's different for some of the higher order prayers that we have? God, forgive me my sins. But you know what? I have an issue with my sister, with my cousin. I have an issue with my neighbor, and I'm never going to forgive them. Right? Why would we expect God to listen to that prayer when we're not willing to do something? How about this? God, I am having trouble in my relationship with my spouse, my wife, my husband. He's not listening to me. He's not talking to me. I don't like what he's doing. You know, I need to do something about it. God, help him. And yet I'm not willing to sit down with my spouse and talk and have a conversation. How about this one? God, Let there be peace on earth. And by the way, you know what? I can't stand my neighbor. We're at odds, and we're going to court on an issue. I mean, it's easy to talk about these grand things, peace on earth, but we don't have peace within ourselves, within our neighbors. So we come to coronavirus. God, let the coronavirus go away. Okay, it's a beautiful idea. Yes, God, you know, disinfect the world. But if I'm not willing to take care of myself and do those things that are prescribed, well, why would I expect God to somehow magically wave his hand and be rid of all of this? You see, as much as prayer is this conversation with God outside of us, it's also a conversation with God within us. And that's what I want to share with you today as far as a message of prayer, what that prayer should be. A very prominent American theologian named Reinhold Niebuhr wrote the Serenity Prayer. It's often used in 12-step programs in addictions, but it is a prayer that I personally happen to love. I came upon this during my college days when we studied Reinhold Niebuhr. I had the good fortune of studying religion at USC, where some of the professors were actually students, and Niebuhr was a college name, okay? I mean, we knew about Niebuhr. And this prayer, he says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Give me serenity. Let me have peace. Because there are certain things that I cannot change. But as he prays this, he also says, God, grant me courage so that I can change the things I can. And give me the wisdom to know the difference between those things that I can change and those things that I can't. And to me, this is a prayer that so many times we need to pray, but we forget that, yes, so much of life is in our hands. We have the ability to effectuate change. We're asking God to do miracles when really the miracle's already all around us. And this is the answer that I want to give to you, the answer to my prayer. Because something happened to me just this last Sunday, 4 days ago. Now, many of you know, and if you've been listening, I've shared this with you too, the last couple months I've been traveling quite a bit. And that travel has been waking me up Sunday morning, getting on a plane and coming back home. And beginning of the year, the priest from Oakland, California, moved to Armenia. The primate of our diocese, the archbishop, asked if I would cover an interim slot until the priest, the new assigned priest, would be there. I also had to make some trips to Arizona and so on. So I've shared this with you, right? But what bottom line on it is, if you think about the timing on it from the beginning, from January until the beginning of March, I've been traveling every weekend via air travel, airplane. And since that same time, the coronavirus has gotten more prominent, has become more of an issue, and is now a pandemic. When we first started, and back in January, when I was first traveling, it was just something that was going on in China. We heard about it. By the time I stopped traveling at the beginning of March, it had already blown up into this pandemic situation. So obviously I had these fears, and I was very, very, very thankful. Thank God that I made it through all of this travel, and I was doing okay. And along came this Sunday morning, this last Sunday morning. And I thought that, okay, you know what, I'm going to go to the cathedral. We've already put out the directive that everything's going to be online shortly. I figured, okay, it's probably one of the last Sundays that'll have public access. And by the way, this coming Sunday, we're going to be strictly online. And I thought I'd go to the cathedral. and offer my prayers, be part of the Divine Liturgy. And of course, I had apprehension because everywhere around us, it was getting close to lockdown here in the Los Angeles area. It was getting close to isolation. They were suggesting that people get into voluntary isolation, which I have, voluntary to the extent that we've been staying inside of our house and with very, very minimal travel to the diocese. And in those cases, it's under strict conditions where I'm either in the studio and it's usually sanitized. Not usually, it always is sanitized and so on and so on. So we've been very, very cautious, let's say it that way. But here's Sunday morning, and I'm apprehensive because, you know, we're getting more and more scared. It's my first Sunday off of the airplanes, and I'm going to be going to the cathedral. It's a local place, and I get a call from one of my clergy brothers early in the morning. And he says, "Father Voskin, I'm not feeling well. I'm coughing, and I have a fever. If you are available, can you come and officiate at services at my church?" And of course, I'm available. And of course, except for the fear, I have absolutely no reason to say no, no reason to not go. So I said, "Of course, you know, I'll be there." And I'm confessing to you. I can confess to him too. I confessed to the Archbishop last night via my sermon. Yeah, I had that fear. You know, what am I going into? I'm going into somebody's church where he's got a fever, and now, you know, what am I going to expect? Anyway, I get into the church, and they've already started the morning service because I was notified so late. I'm getting there in time now. I'm already thinking to myself strategically where I'm going to be standing, the 6 feet layer from everybody. And I figured, okay, I'm going to, you know, it's Lent. We don't need to be in the public. There's no contact. And I'll be giving a sermon. I'll be feet away from people. Let me go and do this service. But still, apprehension, still anxiety levels are high. And I walk into the church, and I sit in the chancel area, praying and leading the prayer. Of course, we're leading the services. And as an officiant, you have the opportunity to pray loudly, but also you're a person. It's your private time, and you want to pray. And I prayed. I prayed that God help me, that God help me amidst this coronavirus fear. And it was at that moment that I received an answer to my prayer. A lot of times we expect God to speak to us. Just like earlier when I was saying the images that we have, we expect God to talk to us with thunderbolts, with lightning, with a lot of noise and saying, "Hey, I am here." When all along, you know, he touches us with some very special, special creations, doesn't he? The smile of a child, the petal of a blooming flower. These are also messages from God. And here I am, anxiety, fear, and I'm in the church, and I'm looking for an answer to my prayer. And I look no further than what was standing right in front of me. During the Lenten season, we draw the curtain and we construct a small little altar in front of the curtain. And traditionally, there is a picture of Jesus crucified, a crucifix, right outside of the curtain. And my eyes looked at that image, at that icon, at that picture. And it was like an answer that came to me. Jesus had come to an infected world. Jesus had come to an infection greater than coronavirus. He had come into a world that was filled with hatred, with darkness, with ignorance, with people who had no compassion, into a world that was screaming from that hatred. Screaming of thoughts of war, and here we are 2,000 years later, worried about a coronavirus. And Jesus had come to save a world, not from something outside, but from itself. And it was like, I was looking at that picture, and it was like an answer that was just coming to me. And I got an answer to my prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. That was the serenity I needed. In that church, with a focus on the icon of Jesus crucified, I realized that Jesus had come into a world that was hurting, that was infected, and continues an infection. He gave a message of love, a message of hope, and a message of faith. Can I do the same? Grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Does God answer prayers? Yes. Every time. We just need to listen. Because as much as prayer is a conversation with God, it's more than that. It's a dialogue with God. And if it's a conversation, if it's a dialogue, it means you talk and you also have to listen. Listen to God's answer. He's talking to you. He's giving you messages. Whether it's from that little flower, from the smile on a child's face, or from the crucifix that hangs in front of you, telling you that, courage, I have overcome this world. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have coronavirus. But I am here. I am with you.
Hi, Susie here again, reminding you that the next step is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We invite you to check out our extensive archive about applied spirituality and Christianity for just about every life situation. You'll find past podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Blueberry, and of course at the In His Shoes website. Each episode is filled with insights about faith and applications of love. We're proud to have these podcasts available to our worldwide audience, with listeners added daily. To become a partner of this ministry, please consider donating by pressing on the donate button on our website. Your monetary contributions goes to maintain and further this dynamic mission, bringing the message of Armadoxy into the lives of a waiting world. Let us know if you'd like to sponsor a series of podcasts by dropping us a note at feedback@epostle.net. That's epostle with an E, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World, .net. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Well, thank you, Susie. Hey, I've got to thank all of you for those beautiful notes that you've been sending me. They really touch my heart. Thank you very much. I'm honored. I'm humbled to know that this broadcast, this ministry, is reaching out in places that we never even imagined it would. Thank you for your love, your attention, your support, your financial gifts too. We're living in a very difficult time. Things are changing, and we're very thankful that we have this ability to reach out via the means of technology that technology gives us. We've been podcasting for 12 years now. We've been broadcasting since the 1990s. We've been putting all this up on the internet. And now, you know what? If you're locked down, this is a great, great time to do some binge watching. I get letters, believe it or not, just like Breaking Bad, just like Handmaid's Tale. People sit and they binge listen to The Next Step. Well, it's a great time if you want to catch up on some stuff. Go to Armadoxy channel, okay? Armadoxy channel on YouTube. And you'll see like hundreds of videos that we've made since the 1990s. They're all up there. The last year has not been placed up there, but you could find them on the Western Diocese channel. There's some really great, great programming. You know, one of the most popular ones is a prayer that Maštos Čobanjan does. You know, he teaches Bible study and there's a lot of followers, but one of the most popular ones is a prayer. And you can't just say it's just a prayer. It's a prayer, and it's given with so much spirit and meaning that people share it, people use it, they subscribe to it and are watching it. And there's just so much information out there. I can't thank you enough for getting this ministry out to people, and take advantage of this very awkward time right now. If you're locked in, to get familiar with the many, many facets of the electronic ministry and how it touches us in a very unique way. And thank you very much for supporting and being the prayer partners. Your prayers are what make this ministry. I've always said, it's your prayers that make this ministry possible. So with that, let's see. This Sunday, I'm going to be at the St. Leon Armenian Cathedral giving the English sermon, but you can't come to it. We're discouraging people from coming to it. But here's the good thing. All of you who listen in remote areas of the world are invited to come. We're going to be streaming it. It'll be at 10 a.m. Pacific time, okay? Pacific time. So all you need to do is you need to just ask Alexa or Siri and just say, what time is it in California? And then figure it out. 10 a.m. We're going to start the morning services. I'm going to be giving the English sermon at 10:45. It'll continue with the Divine Liturgy, and the stream is going to be very unique. Let me tell you why. Because we figured out that if we're going to be streaming the Divine Liturgy, which is behind curtains, it's going to be a very boring stream because you're just going to see the curtain. So we're going to take the camera behind the curtain. You're going to get to see what goes on behind the curtain. No. Better than Wizard of Oz. This is the real thing, okay? The Divine Liturgy as seen by the priests and the deacons on the other side of the curtain. So that's going to be the stream following my sermon. Invite you to be there. And of course, get involved at your local churches. Call up your priest. See if what you can do. We're going to be starting a very simple ministry with our youth among the Bible study. And I encourage many of you, you know, that In His Shoes is walking in the shoes of others, our elderly walking in their shoes this time of coronavirus. We're putting out a little request for younger members of the congregation, younger members to maybe step up. We want to form a list of people who can do things like simple things like shopping so that older people do not have to go out and be exposed to some of the dangers that are out there. So little things that you can do, think about them, talk to your priest and get involved, even remotely. Well, that about does it for us for this week. Hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. It's about prayer. Keep those prayers coming and keep those prayers going. It's like I said earlier, you know, if you're going to pray to God for this ministry, make sure that you're part of it as well. Pray with us and be with us. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our technical director, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off-power. I'm top limits.